Wayne State University football. It's all about the W. It's time for Winters on Wednesday, the insider's look at Wayne State football. Your host is none other than Warrior head football coach Paul Winters, along with Patriot studio host Rod Beard, as they catch you up on everything Wayne State football. Now, here's Rod Beard with Coach Winters.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of the Winters on Wednesday show on 1400 AM The Patriot. I'm Rod Beard, and as always, I am joined by the captain of this ship, Paul Winters, football coach at Wayne State University. Just like every Wednesday, we are at Tony V's. If you're ever in the area, come on down and join us. They have a wonderful, wonderful wait staff and a wonderful clientele, and it's a good atmosphere for a small town, college town area, and our cast of dozens who are here with us. No, don't raise your hands. Make noise.
Small town.
It has a small town feel. Small town,
okay.
Midtown,
okay.
Detroit. But we have another good show for you guys. We're going to break down last week's game, look ahead to next week's game, an important test for the Warriors. And then also take a look at our Women's Warriors Spotlight, which this week will be the swimming team. Ashley DeCida and Leslie Bueno Estrada will be the guest this week. But we'll start out this week talking about a win and coming off a 55-21 drubbing and homecoming, a decisive win for the Warriors over Northwood, and that has to feel good to get back on the winning track to feel good about ourselves for a week.
It feels really good. Northwood was kind of on a hot streak. They had won two games in a row and felt good about themselves, had a great win over Davenport the week before. And they came in ready to play, and, you know, God blessed us with some lightning and some hail and and everything else to help us get on track.
It's so typical Michigan weather that when you start, you've got one type of weather.
It's beautiful.
Beautiful football weather, and shortly thereafter, you got a lightning warning, and then you got sleet and snow, and it feels like it's one of the old 70s NFL films where you got some running back running at half a mile an hour trying to trudge through the snow. How do you adjust to that when you – do you pay attention to the weather report? Let's start there.
You know, I try to avoid it because they're wrong so often. You don't want to make up stuff and have a plan for something that's not going to happen. Obviously, we had no idea that there was going to be hail and snow on the field when we came out the second time.
Yeah.
But we were prepared for the rain. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, we thought about just scrapping all the passing game when that hail came out, and we did that.
Yeah.
And we were very fortunate that we were able to.
Jake Amrine, 3 of 4 for, what was it, 80-something yards? That's efficiency in the running game, but you got over 400 yards, which is the bigger deal there. You got over 200 for James Hill, 23 carries, 235, 4 touchdowns. And
wow.
He was the GLIAC player of the week. Those
yes.
are
big time.
Those are big numbers.
Those are big time numbers. And you know, Deontay Moffitt was just as effective. I don't know exactly what his stats were for the game.
22-140.
And 3 touchdowns.
3 touchdowns. Yeah.
So 7 touchdowns between the two of them, and what was that? 360 yards or so between the two of them. That's awesome.
Yep.
That's awesome. And as you watch them, it all started up front. Our offensive line was outstanding. I think every starter graded out over 95%.
That's insane.
It is insane. We scored the first 8 times we touched the ball.
Yeah.
That's insane. We were up 41-0, I think, at one point.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane. You know, ultimately, we felt like we had the team that could do that. We just have run into so many mistakes, and we've had a young quarterback who's just learning, and he's coming of age. So, you know, in fact, we're a team that's starting to show who we are.
And to that point, some folks will look and say, well, hey, they got lucky, or this is – the record for this team at 2-6 is not indicative of the talent level of how these games have gone, that one would say, okay, well, this is a 2-6 team with 2-6 talent. The games have just been in such a – it's a one-possession game here. It's a mistake here. It's a turnover here. And it's not only a turnover, but a team returns that turnover for your
touchdown.
Your one mistake, they maximize that error to absolutely the most it could be. So it's not just the error, but it's the worst that that error could be in some of these cases.
Yeah, you know, I mean, if you look at it realistically, you take away all the mistakes that we've made with our punt team. We're 6-2.
Yeah.
Just the punt team alone. And that's a little frustrating for us because we changed the punt team this year to improve and not allow teams to scheme us. It's been mistakes like dropping the ball on the snap.
Yep.
You know, you can't. I don't know how.
Those aren't scheme things, though. Those are some of that is just mental concentration
mistakes.
And focus thing. Yep. It happens a couple of times a year, but these have happened at the most inopportune times, and they've been
over and over and over.
You're in bad field position, and the other team takes over right there, or a punt gets blocked, and not just blocked and right out of bounds, blocked and returned for a touchdown when you've got momentum and you're rallying and you're doing something else. So all of that is just to say that. Don't look at our record and say the Warriors are a 2-6 team with 2-6 talent. Or maybe you do. You hope Ferris does that, and they underestimate you a little bit. But the defense is solid. I was looking through some of the numbers today. From a passing perspective, you give up 126 yards, which is second fewest in the nation, which is significant.
Pretty good. That's pretty good.
That's pretty good when you're doing that, and you combine that with the type of offense that you showed where you can run the ball, where you don't have to pass the ball, but your offensive line is just churning forward, you can do a lot of things, and you don't look at this Ferris State team on Saturday as an unbeatable team. We just have to play the way that we're supposed to play. And we play at our peak level like we did last week. Anything is possible.
Well, that's what you'd hope. I mean, they're a GLIAC football team, and they've played some pretty interesting games. You know, they played 28-14. Over Saginaw, which is a good win for them. And they had a nice win against Ashland. And those are two teams that we felt that we matched up pretty well with as
well.
So, you know, looking at that, you're going on the road for the third time to Ferris. They're a very difficult team to play there. They have a great atmosphere, as loud, as crazy. They've got great talent, and it's just, you know, for us, this is the closest we're going to get this year to being a playoff game. So let's go play it like a playoff game and give it our best shot.
No, and I think that's the right way to approach it, and I hope the players go in with this, there's nothing to lose, and actually we feel like this is a playoff game for us. This is our playoff, and yes, you want the GLIAC to do well on a national stage, but you also want to set yourself up for the future and give yourself a quality win like this on the road, I think would do wonders for our program and some of the young players,
too. I agree with you. And I think our players are looking forward to it. It's a challenge. We know it's a challenge, and we just want to go out and respond. You know, we've had a couple different challenges this year that I think we've responded pretty well to and come up a little bit short. Now we want to respond well and not come up short.
Yeah, absolutely. We were talking about the weather, and let's go all the way back to that. Does that impact your game planning where you say, we're trying to do a certain thing. Wow, it just started raining unexpectedly. We're going to run the ball a lot more than we had planned.
You just take the marker out and start scratching them off. Okay, we're not doing that. No, we're not doing that. No, we're not going to do that.
Or even a trick play or something that you would want.
Can't do that.
Can't do that.
Anything that takes a lot of ball handling, you just scratch it off your list. Like a double reverse pass or anything like that, a toss back to the quarterback. You want as few people handling the ball as possible. Mm-hmm. You want a snap, a handoff, and give it to the ref. That's it. Those are the only people you want handling the ball.
Do you maybe do more Mustang when weather conditions get a little bit dicey?
You know what? That's a possibility. We didn't this year because I just felt like everything we were doing at the time, like just we were running our power, we were running our outside zone and our our mid zone, and they were all working. So
yeah, and certainly once the score gets to a certain point, there's
no reason.
You don't have to get too fancy with it. Just, right. Hey, let's do what we've been doing, and it all works out for everybody.
And we never try to run up the score or do anything like that. So, you know, we're going to be efficient, and we're going to be boring, I guess, but – you know, we just want to go out and win football games.
You don't get style points, do you? Do they award style points?
They don't award style points.
No, but we'll take style points in a 55-21 win in homecoming. We're going to talk a little bit more about some of the things that go into a homecoming and game planning and weather and things like that. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come right back, we'll have our second segment of the Winners on Wednesday show here on 1400 AM, The Patriot.
Hey, Wayne State, are you looking for childcare right here on campus? Rainbow Child Care Center is now open in Midtown. Come visit Rainbow's new Midtown location and see why so many families call Rainbow their home away from home. Located at the corner of Brush and Mac, Rainbow Child Care Center is the perfect place for your little one to grow and develop. Whether you're in the classroom or at work, enjoy the peace of mind that comes with your child being right next door. Visit rainbowccc.com/Detroit or call 800-90-LEARN. That's 800-905-3276. rainbowccc.com/Detroit and learn more.
Hey, Warrior fans. Join us on Saturday, November 3rd, as your Wayne State Warriors take on the Northern Michigan Wildcats for the final home game of the season. Kickoff is at 1 p.m. at Tom Adams Field, and we will be recognizing the armed forces and first responders during the day's events. Tickets are available online at WSUathletics.com and at the gate.
Wayne State University Athletics. Go Warriors!
Michigan First Credit Union is the exclusive financial institution of Wayne State Athletics. With two branches and 11 ATMs on or near campus, our goal is to make your life easier and to exceed your expectations. Why choose anyone else for your banking needs? Let us show you why we're the best choice. Visit MichiganFirst.com for details. Michigan First Credit Union is proud to support Wayne State Athletics. Go Warriors!
Whether you keep it on a spreadsheet, a memo on your phone, or a sticky note on your desk, you've probably got a lot on your to-do list. That's why Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan and Blue Care Network are here to help. No matter what size your business, we'll help you find more ways to stretch your budget, protect your employees, and streamline your healthcare benefits. Also, you can check off more lines on your list and get on with living. To see all the ways Blue Cross can help you, visit timeformore.com.
Sometimes it's fun to drive, like when your friend gives you the keys to their new car for a test drive. And sometimes it's not fun to drive, like when you're at a concert and want to have a few cocktails but then have to drive home. Whether you're taking a small group of friends out for a night on the town or you're planning a trip for a large group of 50 or more, Trinity Transportation has you covered. They've got a huge fleet of vehicles, including vans, minibuses, and full-size luxury buses. Call them at 877-284-4200 or visit them on the web at trinitytransportation.com. When you want to have fun but don't want to drive, let Trinity Transportation take care of you. And please, don't drink and drive.
Hey, fellas, let's go now. Let's have a great day. Let's have some fun, fellas. Have some fun with it. Warrior Pride on 3, 1, 2, 3.
Warrior Pride.
Great job.
Ah.
Warrior Dead. Team Rally.
Ready.
I said Warrior Dead. Team Rally.
Ready.
Ready. Begin.
Welcome back to the Winners on Wednesday show on 1400 The Patriot. I'm Rod Beard with Coach Paul Winners, and we're in our second segment. We're joined now by Coach Lou West, defensive backs coach or secondary coach, or we can throw any number of titles. Every title we throw on there, we're going to have to pay you more, so we'll just pick one and stick with that. But thanks for joining us. Thanks for taking some time out on your Wednesday evening. What's the best part of this secondary group? Because there's so many different ways that we can go at it. Yeah. What do you like most about this group?
Yeah. Well, first of all, thanks for having me on and glad to be here. But in answer to your question, I think the youth of the secondary is what really inspires me, because I know these guys have got nowhere to go but up and get better each game and each year. And a couple of them are going to be around for a while. So it's exciting to have such a young group.
When you start with young guys, you sometimes just have to take your lumps with them, that they're going to get beat on some plays and they're going to make their mistakes. But it's always good to have those quick learners that the first time you explain something and they get beat on it, mm-hmm. then you don't have to explain it again. They already yeah. know what they did, or they just make that correction very, yeah. very quickly. Are you seeing a lot yeah, of that?
Exactly. I am. There's a couple guys that, again, like you said, they get beat on something. You explain to them how you want it done and why it should be done, and they'll pick it right up and get after it. So, yeah, they're a very intelligent bunch of guys back there.
One thing I've noticed in the games that I've done for Comcast is there aren't as many big plays. And that's the thing defensively that just kind of takes the air out of you is that big play right over the top. They've been pretty good at just denying those plays and trying to keep everything in front of them. And that, yeah. that gets frustrating sometimes, too, when everything is underneath, and it's pick, pick, pick. But that big play is the one that just, for the linebackers and defensive linemen who are just going every play, that's the one that takes the air out of you when they just yeah. go up top and guys get beat there.
Yeah, and we try to, you know, work on that every day in practice of just staying on top. And I think for the most part, it doesn't matter what level you're at, you know, peewee all the way up to the pros. If you're on top, you got a chance to, you know, make a play and, yep. and stop the big play. And if we stay in that position, I think we'll be okay.
Tyler Houston is one guy that has stuck out to me, too, that just a freshman, and he's out there on the field, and you don't see true freshmen in the secondary very, very often. That means that you've got some level of talent if you're out there as a true freshman. What have you seen yeah. from him?
Yeah, I think, first of all, he was a very talented young man coming out of high school, and we were very excited about having him come to our in our program. And really, we talked about redshirting mm-hmm. because, again, just to get his feet wet and get in the college atmosphere and all that stuff. But sometimes, like in his case, there's some injuries that came up, and he had to step up and get started right now his freshman year, and really he's doing a good job. And you know, to Tyler, he's one of those guys that we just talked about. If you tell him this, he'll pick it up and he'll go out and do his best to do that. And he's been pretty good at it so far.
And people, for a lot of secondary people, they want to look at the interceptions and say, well, why isn't he getting interceptions? Well, sometimes mm-hmm. that means the ball just doesn't get thrown to that side, or right. it's a PBU or something that isn't one of those primary stats that people look at. But if you really watch his technique and everything that yeah. he does, it's to your point, he's talented, and you can see that as a freshman. Otherwise, yeah. he just wouldn't be on the field. You'd find a senior or somebody else to yeah. put in that spot.
Exactly. And you know, we've got some guys that, you know, that could be out there. But, again, I think the young man has some talent. I think he's smart, and I think he's physical, too.
Yeah.
So, you know, he brings a lot to the table. And again, that's why we recruited him and expected him to be there. It's just that I don't know if you call it unfortunate or fortunate, but we needed him now. He stepped up, and he's playing well, I think.
And it's something to say, too, about that type of investment that you put in a young player like that, that, well, you get three more years with him, and mm-hmm. you've made that initial investment of the time and the everything else. But you got three more years, and you hope a guy like that starts to develop the leadership qualities that you yeah, want to see yeah. down the road, that, hey, we've given you this, and he's learning from some of the older guys, to the veteran
right,
guys.
Yeah.
But that's going to – he's paying it forward. If they're paying it forward, that he's going to be able to pay it forward mm-hmm. down the road somewhere.
Exactly. And, again, he's a guy that just right now he sets back and he takes stuff in. He sees how this guy is doing, Dante is doing, how Pittman's doing it, and he just taking it in, and I'm sure he understands that one day he's going to have to take that role and take it over. But right now I think he's just getting his feet wet and trying to hold on.
One of the other numbers I picked up somewhere, I think it was 126.5 yards that you're allowing per game, that just the passing mm-hmm. yards are not there. Is there a number defensively that you look at and as an analytical piece or something that
yeah.
you say you want to keep a team within this particular range?
Well, I mean, we set goals depending on the team. You know, you got a throwing team, your goals are a little bit higher. A running team, your goals might be a little higher. But you try to set the goals to the team that you're playing.
Okay.
You know, realistic goals.
Sure.
You know, you go into a game against like a Northwood that you know they run option and they're good at it. And,
yeah.
you know, to say I'm going to hold them to 50 yards is ridiculous. It's ridiculous. So, you know, you kind of come up with a figure that is attainable, and that's what you try to shoot for. And so each game we do that. We come up with some numbers that, passing-wise as well as the run game, and that's what we try to shoot for. And if we think we feel that if we reach those goals, we'll be successful.
Who are some other guys in that secondary that you've been impressed with so far at this point in the season?
Well, I tell you, Kyle Toth kind of holds everything together back there. He's the returning veteran that kind of keeps things under control. And again, he's a guy that you can make adjustments on the field, and he can take it out there on the playing field and get it done. I think Devari Halliburton has come along. He's a guy that his first last year was his first start or real action.
Sure.
And he's starting to improve now and catch on to what it's going to take to be a sure defensive back type of guy. Another guy that I'm high on or I like is Greg McDade. Mm-hmm. Greg in the past has been riddled with some injuries, knock on wood, that kind of kept him out of action. But, again, he's a guy that really is – this is his first year actually getting into action and getting going. And I think, again, he's doing a good job at that. Then, you know, we have a couple other guys. Malcolm Williams has a lot of talent that I think can help us or will help us. You know, so, you know, there's a couple other guys that, you know, are doing well back there for us and just need to continue to get better and improve.
On a bigger defensive note, it feels like some of those injuries are starting to – you're getting some of those guys back. We've seen some of those vets start to get back in the lineup. Derek Coleman, just everybody, everybody. At the beginning of the year, it was a mass unit that we're talking about. Guys being out on the defensive side of the ball, and now you're starting to get those back. And as you get them back, the defense looks like it's getting a little bit stronger too.
Yeah, you know, like Jalen Lewis, I think, is a prime example. And Jalen coming back, I mean, not only does he add to our defense, but he adds to our team. I think a lot of our players obviously respect him and know his abilities and know that he can be a key part of our defense.
Yeah, and that's just – that's the hard part of this whole thing is when you're trying to piece things together, and it's almost popsicle sticks and Elmer's glue that you're trying to hold everything together because, well, you know you're getting Jalen back. Well, you know these guys are coming back at some point. Nope, not this week. Not that week. And the Corey Esther on the offensive side.
These
guys are coming back, but we just got to hold this thing together. That's just hard on a defense. On the bad side, yes, you don't have your guys – but on the other side, you're getting some critical experience for those young guys that is beyond just this year.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's the important part of it is that those younger guys are getting that experience. So even if they're in a backup role, they've played, they know their assignments, they know what's going on, and you can put them in there to give the starter a rest. And I think that is really a key point there.
How difficult is it to game plan for a game like Saturday's with Ferris because they do so many things? They got an option quarterback who is their leading rusher, who's thrown for 1,700 yards and 17 touchdowns. Just a multifaceted offensive guy like that. Is that difficult? Do you start planning ahead and trying to figure out scheme, or do you just wait until that week?
Well, we kind of take each game during the off season and kind of get some ideas of what we want to do and how we want to get it done. And during the season, you know, we may apply it to another team or we may work on those things in our individuals. But, yeah, we kind of keep them in our back, you know, in the background and preparing for them here and there. But as far as preparing for them, I think you have to know their key. Just like you said, their quarterback is key. Mm-hmm. So we better know what our assignments are and where we need to be. So even if he drops back for a pass, somebody needs to know where he's at because he will take off on you. Their receivers, I think their receivers do a great job of making him good because not only can he run, but he can throw. And those guys do a good job of getting open. And probably the best thing they do is after they catch the ball, they can do some things. So, you know, when you're preparing for them, you want to prepare for obviously to stop the run. but also put yourself in position to be able to be competitive against the pass.
Yeah. With a guy like that, a lot of teams will just have a spy, a safety as a spy that just chase him around. Is that something that you look at, or you've got something more specific that you're looking at in this case?
Yeah, that's something that we kind of hopefully have built into each of our packages.
Okay,
someone kind of keeping an eye on him and being in a position where we can hopefully get a free guy to make the play on him. And that's big on defense is not missing tackles when you have the opportunity to make a tackle. And that's one thing this kid can do is he can slip tackles. So we want to make sure that we got people in position to know where he's at all times.
Yeah, and local folks will know this name, Jayrue Campbell, a kid from Cass Tech, who's had a news – I don't even want to say newsworthy. His name has been in the news just because of some other troubles that he's had. But he's landed at Ferris and is having a very good season there. He's started that conversation for Harlan Hill, but we'll see – how these last couple of games go. But, Lou, certainly want to thank you for spending some time with us on Wednesday evening and talking some defense. We're going to take another break and come back with our Warrior Women's Spotlight section with Ashley DeCita. We'll be right back after this.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Lou.
How much more endurance on the court would Tom have if his sleep problems were addressed by a specialist? How much faster could Darnell get back to scoring touchdowns if he had a sports medicine expert treating his concussion? How much more would Priya enjoy running if she found out her shortness of breath was due to an easily treated respiratory condition? Whatever kind of athlete you are, at Henry Ford, we treat all of you. From injury prevention to leading-edge treatment, no one sees the whole athlete like we do. Henry Ford Sports Medicine is the only team in Michigan where every member is part of a unified group. Our sports specialists work together to get every muscle, bone, tendon, organ, nerve, and blood vessel of your body working so you can reach all of your goals. Get back in the game ASAP. Make an appointment today at henryford.com/sports. Henry Ford Health System, all for you.
For more than a decade, the Detroit Sports Commission has attracted regional, national, and international sporting events to Metro Detroit. What does this mean for our region? Hundreds and thousands of visitors and millions of dollars being pumped into our local economy over the past 10 years. From the Final Four to the Super Bowl, Detroit is where champions are made and championships are played. Find out how you can get involved at DetroitSports.org and be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Student loan, car loan, credit card, whatever your financial needs are, Michigan First Credit Union is here to help. As the official financial institution of Wayne State Athletics, we have 2 branches and 11 ATMs on or near campus. Stop in or visit MichiganFirst.com for locations and details about how we can save you more money. Michigan First Credit Union is a proud supporter of Wayne State Athletics. Go Warriors!
Delta Dental of Michigan and Wayne State University are building brighter futures, healthier communities where families have access to care, smarter communities where dreams transform into reality, more vibrant communities where pride in where you live runs deep, because a good community feels like home, with friendly faces, sights, and sounds that foster a happiness you can't help but share. After all, a bright smile starts with a solid foundation. Learn more at deltadentalmi.com.
Hi, Warrior fans. It's Ashley DeCita here. We have a senior from our women's swimming and diving team, Leslie Bueno. Welcome.
Hello.
We're excited to have you and get to know you today. This is for our Women in Athletics segment. As I mentioned, Leslie is a member of our women's swimming and diving team. She's one of our most decorated female athletes here at Wayne State. She's a 14-time All-American and has a school record holder. So Leslie, let's get to it. You are from Mexico, and like I said, you're a senior. So talk us through kind of the decision to not only come to the U.S., but come to Wayne State and join our swimming and diving team.
Well, I decided to come to Wayne State just because I wanted to be in a school that has like a really good level, academic level and athletic level. So that's why I chose Wayne State.
That's awesome. And so I assume you've been swimming a lot of your life. Like, when did you kind of get into the sport?
I started swimming when I was 6 years old.
Wow.
And I'm 22, so that's a while. Yeah.
Yeah. And how have you feel like the transition has been as far as like competition wise and when you came to Wayne State? Obviously, you've thrived here, but how has that been for you?
It's been very different from home. Here, I really like how the team cheers for you, and it feels like a whole different thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And obviously, I didn't mention it yet, but your freshman year, I mean, you came to Wayne State and right away, you just were phenomenal. I mean, obviously, you've soared since, but your freshman year, you were GLIAC Female Freshman of the Year. I mean, that's outstanding. So kind of right off the bat, you know, you were swimming really well. So if you can think back to that, how was it kind of right away your freshman year? Like, think back to the culture of the team and just the overall chemistry. How was everything?
Everything was new. It was like a whole completely like new experience. It was a challenge also, but I feel like if you come from like zero, you come like with no expectations, kind of.
Right.
And here, like, you learn from everyone and then everyone supports you, and I think that like your coach helps you, your teammates help you, so that really helps you like to push yourself.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I'm sure, I mean, it seems like from our perspective here in the athletic department, the swimming and diving team is very, very close. Mm-hmm. So is that something you felt right away when you came to Wayne State?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Like awesome. The first moment. Yeah.
Yeah. And so now that you are an upperclassman, how do you feel like that's kind of developed from your perspective? Like, do you kind of take that on as your own, like now sheltering kind of the freshmen and whatnot?
Well, I'm a captain for the women's, mm-hmm. so I feel like all the experience that I got from my upperclassmen, like from the last 3 years, that has really helped me. And I don't know, I think it's always good to give like someone, like something back to people.
Definitely.
So everything I know, kind of like want to help people. Yeah.
I love that. And so with that captain role, kind of what do you feel like your leadership style is with some of the younger classmen? Like, you just kind of pour into them, like if they have questions or if there's like a transition issue, how do you handle it?
It's like a communication between our coach and the teammates, mm-hmm. and they always like ask for help,
yeah.
even with classes or with technique, like in the pool, like,
yeah.
just like little things.
Right, a lot of little things, yeah.
yeah.
And so take us through kind of your like daily schedule as far as swimming. I know that the student athlete piece is obviously very demanding, but a lot of people that aren't familiar with the sport of swimming and diving, like you are spending a ton of time in the pool.
Oh, yeah.
So
oh, yeah.
kind of break that down for us.
So we usually like swim at 6 in the morning, from 6 to 7:30.
Okay.
And then we go to weights, like an hour and a half. And then that's from like 6, like 8:15 to 9:30. So we go to classes, everything. We come back for the doubles. So we come back around 12:30, depends on the day. And we swim for like 2.5 hours. Two and a half.
Wow.
Yeah, every day. So doubles are just Tuesday and Thursday.
Okay, so 2 days a week you're doing doubles. Mm-hmm. Okay. But those days you're in the pool for 3.5+ hours.
Yeah.
If mm-hmm. not long. Okay.
And then Saturday, same thing, like 3 hours.
Wow.
6 to 9.
Okay, so it's a 6 day a week commitment.
Yeah.
Typically 1 day off. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Wow. And so you guys have obviously started your season. Last weekend you guys won against Tiffin and Davenport, and then you're competing again this weekend against Oakland. Obviously you did very well and won some events last weekend. Where do you feel like you're thriving as far as events? Like, what's your specialty?
I swim the 50 and the 100 free. Mm-hmm. I'm a sprinter, so
yeah.
All the
like the short stuff.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The fast stuff, yeah. Straight to the point.
Yeah, and then you've also been, I mentioned, you know, you're a 14-time All-American, which is, I mean, unbelievable. It's just absolutely tremendous. But with that, you've also been a part of some really successful relay teams. Can you talk a little bit about the differences between swimming, like your particular event, like a short sprint versus a relay team, kind of the dynamic difference?
Well, I love swimming relays. It's just like the fun part of swimming, mm-hmm. I feel. Like everyone like supports you. And it's just not, you don't have like the pressure on yourself,
yeah.
but it's like in everyone, you know.
Yeah.
So I just really love that.
Right. It's just shared between
yeah.
the four
mm-hmm.
of you. Definitely. And so transitioning a little bit, being obviously a student athlete, you are an industrial engineer major.
Yeah.
Which obviously to me sounds very, very demanding and difficult. You've also been, you know, very academically strong while you've been here at Wayne State. So talk about that commitment and kind of the time management piece that you've had to learn.
It's been always a challenge. It's a completely challenge.
Well, you're in the pool a lot.
Yeah, that's why. Yeah. So like everything needs to be organized. Time mm-hmm. management is the key.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have like everything planned when I'm going to do homework.
Yeah.
And I try to organize everything because if not, then I don't sleep well, and then I'm tired in practice, so.
Oh, man, just not been, much free time.
No, only weekends, kind of.
Yeah, kind of, partially, not when you're in season. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us. Again, that was Leslie Bueno from our women's swimming and diving team. Please check out WSUathletics.com for their schedule as they are now rolling. As I mentioned, they are competing at Oakland this weekend, and then their next home meet is November 10th. I'm Ashley DeCita, and thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the Winners on Wednesday show. That was Ashley DeCita with Leslie Bueno Estrada from the swimming team, and so much success in all of the other sports, not just the ones that we talk about so frequently. Do you get a chance to go to other events, other athletic events?
You know, it's tough during the season.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Either on the road or we're in the hotel or whatever. I try to get to as many as possible, basketball games, volleyball games. There was a cross-country event Saturday afternoon that I couldn't get to. That was local, so that was disappointing. But I do try to see the Warriors, other athletes go because they're fantastic competitors.
Yeah, well, in the non-football season, we see you all the time at some of the other things. But that's one of the hallmarks of the Wayne State program is that each sport supports other sports, and it's no strange thing to see athletes from other sports at a volleyball match or a tennis match or anything. It's just the athletic community. A couple other things from last week I wanted to try to hit on. When you have a weather delay like that, how do you handle the players? Is there a different warm-up time? Obviously for baseball, pitchers, if the starters are out for a certain amount of time, then you don't bring them back. Is there anything special that you do while you're waiting?
You know, this was a funny one because we didn't know how long we were going to wait. So we really just, as coaches, we went and kind of went over the plan and looked to see what we'd only had one series.
Yeah.
So how they adjusted, how they were going to adjust to that first series. We let the players sit in the room and relax. And we told them, hey, listen, we're not going to go out there for at least 45 minutes. So just sit back, relax. Don't pace and worry about the game. We'll get you ready to go when it's time. So after about a half an hour, we met with them and started talking about what adjustments we're going to make for when we go out. And then they had a 15-minute window to warm up. And we felt like I didn't know really how bad the weather was, but I didn't think 15 minutes was necessary. and as it turned out, it was probably perfect. We went out for 7 minutes. We stretched with Coach Mendoza and let's play. I mean, we've been through the whole pregame stuff, so you don't want to do that. I mean, you leave it on the field. So
But after a certain point, it's sort of I'm tight again, Coach. Especially for some of the bigger guys, you gotta.
And that's all they did though is they just go stretch.
Yeah, just go do a little stretch there. In terms of homecoming, you've had a modicum of success there. 12 out of the last 14. What's special about home playing at home, obviously, on homecoming and that event and all the pomp and circumstance that's around that?
Well, I think, first of all, you have guys that played with you in the past that are back, you know, and they're letting you know, hey, I'm coming back. You got to, you got to put on a show for me. And you've got players that have played in the past, you know, decades that are planning to come back. And you feel like, hey, this is our one time to get a really huge crowd of people who care about Wayne State football and to show them what we're all about. Forget about whatever we've done in the past and whatever we did at this point in the season. Let's go out and show, put on a great show. And I think we've done that. Like you say, we had 12 in a row and then we lost two and we got this one. So 13 out of the last 15 years.
Yeah. And that's just, it's always a festive kind of occasion. And I don't know if it's easier just to block some of that stuff out because it starts to become extra noise around the players that they feel that sense of pressure that they obviously want to win every game, but for these it's, hey, we've got a bigger crowd than normal or we've got different people or there's some pressure. And coaches always talk about not letting that pressure filter down to the players and blocking some of that stuff out. But it's always just pervasive.
You know what, though? I think my philosophy has always been, hey, this game's important. let's forget about everything else we're doing. This is the most important game of the season. We need to win this game. And so, you know, we talked about this. Gosh, I haven't said this since the first week. No pressure, no diamonds.
Yeah.
You know, so we put some pressure on them. Hey, let's go out and play. Let's go out and win this football game. This is important.
Yeah, and that ended up being the best performance of the season. Again, 399 yards rushing.
And one of that was a dropped punt, 18 yards lost. So we had over 400 yards rushing.
Yeah, this is a special teams issue that didn't bother you.
Yeah.
That one didn't bother you.
Yeah, it did.
James. Of course it did. James Hill, 23 carries, 235 yards. 10 yards a carry is not bad.
That's awesome. He had a great day.
Four TDs. A GLIAC Offensive Player of the Week, Deontay Moffitt, 22 carries, 141, and three touchdowns. How has James Hill really started to develop? We've talked about him just in – it looks like he's breaking out. He's almost there. He's getting there. I liked what I saw this week. But this was really that breakout game for him.
Yeah, you know, he has a lot of confidence in himself. And unfortunately, he's been behind some really good running backs.
Yep.
With Romello last couple of years and Demetrius. And once he finally got an opportunity, you know, he told me in no uncertain terms, I think in the Indianapolis game, he said, Coach, give me a chance. I will show you that I can do it.
And that's about the time he really started
exactly
to get some
right.
more carries. And we're seeing the residual of that is that it's I mean, I just like his running style. It's not a lot of messing around and trying to find a hole. But the hole is supposed to be right here. I trust my offensive lineman. Boom, I'm going right through
he
it.
He runs through it.
And he gets there and he makes it happen.
He's also very big and strong, and he's a little bit more difficult to tackle than people give him credit for.
Yeah, James Hill and Deontay Moffitt, certainly a combination, and maybe not the combination we thought at the beginning of the year that we'd be seeing at this point, but you go with what you got, and that – was successful last week for over 400 yards of rushing from your backfield, and I think it's going to portend well for this week when we talk about Ferris State and big game this season, coming off of homecoming, going into a game against the number two team in the country. We'll talk about that a little bit more in our final segment when we come back on the Winners on Wednesday show on 1400 AM, The Patriot.
At Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan and Blue Care Network, we work hard to show our members how much we value them. It's nice to know they feel the same way. We're proud to receive the 2018 J.D. Power Award for having the highest member satisfaction among commercial health plans in Michigan. Every day, our focus is all about serving our members. To learn more, visit bcbsm.com. For J.D. Power 2018 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards.
Michigan First Credit Union is the exclusive financial institution of Wayne State Athletics. With two branches and 11 ATMs on or near campus, our goal is to make your life easier and to exceed your expectations. Why choose anyone else for your banking needs? Let us show you why we're the best choice. Visit MichiganFirst.com for details. Michigan First Credit Union is proud to support Wayne State Athletics. Go Warriors!
Sometimes it's fun to drive, like when your friend gives you the keys to their new car for a test drive. And sometimes it's not fun to drive, like when you're at a concert and want to have a few cocktails but then have to drive home. Whether you're taking a small group of friends out for a night on the town or you're planning a trip for a large group of 50 or more, Trinity Transportation has you covered. They've got a huge fleet of vehicles, including vans, minibuses, and full-size luxury buses. Call them at 877-284-4200 or visit them on the web at trinitytransportation.com. When you want to have fun but don't want to drive, let Trinity Transportation take care of you. And please, don't drink and drive.
Hey, Warrior fans, join us on Saturday, November 3rd, as your Wayne State Warriors take on the Northern Michigan Wildcats for the final home game of the season. Kickoff is at 1 p.m. at Tom Adams Field, and we will be recognizing the armed forces and first responders during the day's events. Tickets are available online at WSUathletics.com and at the gate.
Wayne State University Athletics. Go Warriors!
After a tough workout, plenty of athletes reach for a cold glass of chocolate milk. Why? It's got the right amount of high-quality protein and carbs proven to refuel and rebuild muscle. Chocolate milk also has electrolytes and bone-building calcium to replenish your body after any athletic activity. Get more from your training with chocolate milk, nature's sports drink. In Michigan, approximately 1,900 dairy farm families work to provide safe, high-quality milk and dairy products for us to enjoy. Approved by Michigan Dairy Market Program Committee. Milk means more.
Welcome back to our final segment on the Winners on Wednesday show. Rod Beard with Coach Paul Winters here at Tony V's in Midtown Detroit. Cass Ave, just south of I-94. Again, if you are ever in the area, just stop by. The pizza is absolutely amazing. The clientele and the staff is awesome as well. And
Everybody has fun here.
I am not saying that for any kickback at all. It just actually is. In this last segment, we want to look ahead to Saturday's game, a big one at number 2 Ferris State, undefeated 8-0. That's 1 o'clock at Top Taggart Field in Big Rapids. What kind of challenge does Ferris present? Because they've they got easily through their schedule, but they haven't. They've had a couple of toughies along the way, but what have you seen as their biggest strength?
Their defensive line is outstanding. Mm-hmm. Big, strong, physical. But I don't know if it's their biggest strength because their linebackers are good and their defensive backs are good and their quarterback's really good and their offensive line's really good and their receivers are good.
Their running backs are good?
Their running backs are good and their special teams are good. They're a good football team. They've earned what they've gotten.
When you look at Ferris, they lead the series. What's difficult about them on a year-to-year? And I won't even say difficult, maybe challenging on a year-to-year basis with that program. Is that they've created an identity and they've established some success?
It could be the 3 years in a row we've played at Big Rapids.
Not a fan of that?
I don't know. You know, for a couple of years, we didn't play them. And we came back and played them, and Des Martin was having a big game against them. Had 140 yards and like 2 carries. Wow. and hurt his ankle and didn't play the rest of the game. We end up going from 14-0 to losing the game. You remember that, Ed? Ed the Verrett just raised his hand and said, yeah, I remember that. Anyway, from that point on, you know what? They've done a good job. They've had some kids come in from other schools and do a good job for them. And, you know, they've been very successful.
Tony Anisi is the coach over there. And he was at, was it Muskegon?
Yes.
We coached in high school. And he built such a good program over there in high school. And it just moved right up to college. How difficult is a transition like that? When you have a little bit of success in high school and you go to a D2 college program, is that difficult to carry that success with you?
I don't think so. He actually went to a junior college before he went to Ferris.
Okay.
And that was probably a big bonus for him because the junior college closed. Mm-hmm. And there were a lot of really good players on that team that went to Ferris with him.
Gotcha.
So that's kind of helped him get a start. And if you're a good coach in high school, you can be a good coach in college. Mm-hmm. I think part of being a good coach, a big part of being a good coach, is just being able to motivate and to educate young men. And I think you learn how to do that at the high school level.
And I think I think more of my question was more about the recruiting aspect, because it just everything ramps up when you're in college, because it's recruiting and dealing with different levels of kids that you're bringing into your program. And you can establish the culture, you can establish the X's and O's and your schemes and everything else that you want to do, but it starts to be a different level of all of that stuff once you get on the college level.
You know
level.
What, though? If you look at high school recruiting today, mm-hmm. high schools recruit as much as colleges.
Yeah. I mean, you like to go back to the old days of...
I love to go back
Here's your neighborhood.
Yes.
You play at the school that's in your neighborhood, and every once in a while, that neighborhood high school is going to have a really good team, but it's not every single year you've got 5-star prospects at every offensive position.
Well, and you see the results of that are happening in the NFL, happening in college, where kids are quitting, kids are transferring because they're not playing. It really takes away from the family atmosphere that you try to build. It takes away from the collegiate atmosphere that you try to build. You know, we talk about our players. We're playing for the W. We're playing for Wayne State. You know, when you've been recruited to high schools and then you're being recruited to colleges, you're playing for yourself.
Yeah, because
that's tough.
It's and even with the what the NCAA is doing with the four games,
it's gotten worse.
Then you can transfer and you can get a red shirt and go somewhere else and play. And it's not. I don't want to get on the soapbox about the NCAA, so I'll leave it there. But it is. You get these mercenaries that, hey, you got a fifth year somewhere? Hey, I'll go somewhere else and play. And it's not, hey, I'm going to go to another neighborhood school. I'm going to go to the place that I think is going to give me the best opportunity to
get an NFL.
There you go. And so it, there's that.
Moving on.
Very
Didn't
much so.
One of the Pistons have 50 points? I don't know.
Yeah. that was the Blake Griffin effect. When you look at what their quarterback does, Jayrue Campbell, certainly he's in that conversation for Harlan Hill. But the numbers are gaudy, 1,700 yards, 17 touchdowns, only two interceptions, but he rushes for another 900 or so and 14 rushing TDs. Is it difficult when you've got a player like that, I'll say, and it's quarterback more often than not, that does so much that you've got a plan for that guy? Does it make it easier because you know they're running just about everything through him, or harder because you've got to figure out what he's going to do in that scheme?
You know what? It's difficult to stop somebody who's very talented, whose offense is built around him. And with the offensive line that he has, mm-hmm. it makes it obviously even better for him. But it's always difficult to defend a multi-talented quarterback. I mean, you look at Oklahoma, you look at the quarterbacks they've had the last couple of years. When you've got those guys that are run-pass options every play, it puts a lot of pressure on the defense.
And that focus is still tackle the guy, whether he has the ball.
Right.
You think he has the ball or
right.
not, that's always the prevailing notion. Tackle him, and if he passes, if he pitches it, somebody
right.
else will tackle that guy.
Right.
But just
right.
don't let him run free. And that we've seen that a number of times over the past few years.
It's difficult.
And
he's a big, strong kid, too. That's the other part of it.
Yeah.
You know, it's you say tackle him, well, that's not that easy.
No.
It's
not like go out and tackle me. It's a guy who's so multi-talented and does so many things for them. But I think this is – if we're getting back healthy and we're the defense is playing a little bit better, I think that gives us a better chance. It's just from an offensive perspective, they say the best way to challenge that offense is to keep your offense on the field.
Yes.
Is that
yes.
possession piece of it too just something you want to focus on?
Well, you know what? That's important. That gives the defensive coaches a chance to make adjustments on the sidelines.
Mm-hmm.
Gives the defensive players a chance to relax and catch their breath. And ultimately, our offense has to do that this mm-hmm. week, especially. Where Jake Amrine has made so much progress over the last 5-6 weeks, that allows us to combine that 400-yard rushing game with a really good passing game.
And just sprinkle it in.
Exactly. So the whole picture of Wayne State football is so much better right now than it was a couple weeks ago just because those guys are growing up.
Yeah, and we'll see on next week on the Winners on Wednesday show how this turns out with number 2 Ferris State. For Coach Paul Winters, for our dozens of Wayne State fans, we'll see you next week on the Winners on Wednesday show.
The green and gold of Wayne State flies over the field today.
You've been listening to Winters on Wednesday here on The Patriot. Go Warriors!